Hey guys, welcome to the Lariat Podcast. This is Justin Barrett coming out of retirement from the Lariat, and I'm with sports editor Brian Bateman. And Brian, a lot of interesting things to talk about today. It's crazy how this basketball season is winding up for us, and I mean, both men and women, it's getting really exciting.
Right, definitely. It's been kind of a crazy last couple of weeks. We had the men do well in the tournament, and they earned a pretty good seed. They're making a run at NIT. I guess we'll start with them today. Looks like just so far in NIT, it's a completely new team. Looks like you went to the Georgetown game, didn't you?
Yeah.
If you just talk about that and what you saw from the stands.
Well, ever since the Big 12 conference tournament, it's been a new team. On the one hand, I'm really frustrated. Like, where was this team the entire conference season? On the other hand, it's kind of nice to see the team live up to its potential. What I really see, I think it's the seniors finally stepping up and playing with heart. They realize they have their backs against the wall. Each game they play can be their last game. With the conference tournament, they're playing, and hopefully for an NCAA tournament bid. They fell short there in the end against Missouri, but they still play their hearts out. Same thing I see against the past couple games in the NIT. You see them going for rebounds. You see them just hustling. And that's something we haven't really seen, or we didn't see the entire season. They were taking a more lackadaisical approach.
Right, and I think another thing with that is just they have a lot more confidence. I think that might be part of that they're just going out there, and like Curtis Gerald said yesterday, he said they're just out there going and having fun. Just out there, I saw that Georgetown, they're making some crazy passes, no-look passes back and forth, and getting all the Kevin Rogers getting his alley-oops going on as well. So they're definitely playing with some fire out there. And one of the big things that has to be the play of Josh Lomers and the move to the zone, which I think has been a huge, huge move because, Drew hasn't really wanted to play zone much at all this year. But he's moved back to it. That's worked out pretty well for him.
Well, as we know, what's been killing the Bears the past couple of years is the lack of an effective big man. And Lomers provides that. I think one of the big hindrances on him is his asthma. He hasn't been able to get up and down the court as much. But, I mean, there's been times when we've seen him in the first opening minutes of the game just look like a monster. He's got that full area. He's not the quickest guy in the world. But what I've always admired about Lomers is he'll go toe-to-toe with anybody. We saw it so often with Joseph Jones last year at Texas A&M, him standing him down. Like, Josh Lomers, although he may not be a huge superstar, he's been a big key of the resurrection of Baylor men's basketball team.
Right, definitely. And I guess looking forward real quick, look at Auburn. Playing them tonight, it's going to be somewhat of a tough game. Auburn runs four guard sets, a lot like Baylor did last year, so that they like to get the ball up and down the court a little bit. What do you see as the key to this game, Justin?
We can't have stupid play. No turnovers. We've got to out-hustle Auburn. Auburn is an athletic team. We've seen that this year with Mizzou. Kansas has got some athletic guys. The Big 12 conference as a whole is a pretty athletic conference. So I don't think Baylor will be surprised at all by what Auburn has to bring, especially since it reflects a lot what Baylor had last year with the four-guard lineup. I mean, even Baylor this year has used a four-guard lineup, although it wasn't really successful. They've used a four-guard lineup. So it's kind of ironic that, I actually see the big men for Baylor being an advantage for Baylor. You never think you would say that, but the way the zone defense has been working recently and how Josh Lomers has been playing and Kevin Rogers has just really fine-tuned his offense over the past couple weeks, I think that could be a huge advantage for Baylor.
Right, especially when Auburn only has one player that's 6'7". That's their tallest player on their team. So that can definitely be an advantage for Baylor. Moving over from the men to the women. The women are in the NCAA tournament. They did win a tough, tough game against UT San Antonio on Sunday, and tonight they play
South Dakota State.
Right, a tough, tough, not to be confused with San Diego State, which happens quite a bit.
It's kind of that Baylor University, Boston University
right.
predicament there,
exactly.
SDSU.
Yeah.
It's easy to be confused by.
Big news, I guess, there is Kim Mulkey was in the hospital. Had to miss that game, and Coach Barmore, who's not a bad coach at all. Don't get us wrong.
Hall of Fame coach. It's not a bad second option there.
Yeah, but he had some plays there, and they were able to pull through and barely beat UCSA. Now, South Dakota State, they shot a lot of threes against TCU and pretty much obliterated TCU last game. But I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that TCU ran a zone and they weren't athletic enough to get out and guard all their three-point shots, which we know Mulkey will almost never run a zone unless she has to. So that might be something to look forward to. But I guess who, if you were to pick one or two players, who do you think is going to be the key to the game tonight?
Well, the thing I see with San Diego State and what I've read about San Diego State is...
South Dakota State.
Oh, yes.
There we go.
Yeah. South Dakota State, excuse me, is they can shoot the three. There is some big physical girls, but they're not athletic. What Baylor thrives in is they create turnovers by doing high-pressure defense, you know, and their offense is basically created from their defense. I really like Melissa Jones. She hustles more than any girl I've ever seen. You know, she's only 5'8", 5'9", 5'10", maybe. But she always finds a way to get near double-digit rebounds. It's crazy. She'll be fighting harder than anyone in there. And Melissa Jones had an amazing game the other day. She had a career high, I believe, 22 points. And with Danielle Wilson absent for the rest of the year, as we expect, there's got to be someone in there to fill the void with rebounds. So I really see Melissa Jones making a huge impact in this game, like she did last game, as well as Jasmine Blair. She's kind of the heart and soul of this team. She's obviously creates a lot of steals. She's not as fast as she was last year before she tore her ACL, but she's really running the ball well, at least better than I saw earlier this season. So Jasmine Blair, like I said, is the heart and soul of this team. There's an interesting quote I heard from her, I read from her today in the paper, explaining how they overcame the loss of Kim Mulkey. She basically just said, we've been coached, you know, Jasmine Blair's been coached by Mulkey for 4 years, so they should be able to know by now what Mulkey expects when Mulkey's not there. Obviously, Mulkey will be there tonight, which is always something good to have, but I expect a lot better performance from the Lady Bears tonight.
Yeah, and I think also another person to look offensively is to look at Jessica Morrow, because she only had 4, maybe 5 points in the last game, and obviously that's a huge, predicament there, because she's had the hot hand throughout the rest of the tournament. But I think that would be key if she can hit up three or two and get herself going. That'd be huge. But yeah, so San Diego, or I did it again. There I go. South Dakota State tonight.
Let's go SDSU.
Here we go. SDSU tonight at the Jackrabbits at 8:30 p.m. So that should be a interesting game to watch. So make sure to check that out and check our own. I must put a little plug in here for Joe Holloway, our sports writers out there actually covering the game. That's why he's not here in the podcast. So make sure to check out his blog, lariatsports.wordpress.com, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
All right, guys, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed our segment about basketball. Now we're going to go to the diamond, talk about some baseball and softball. Both teams have been pretty successful. Softball, obviously, they hit that stretch there. It was just a ridiculous stretch. 10 games in 7 days, and it's not like they're just playing easy walkover teams. They're playing number one team in the nation, number seven team in the nation, number 10 team in the nation. But it seems like they finally got over that hump again, playing some good softball, as well as baseball team. Really finding out that the Big 12 conference is going to be a lot more competitive than a lot of people thought. At least that's what it seems like in the early going.
Right, definitely. So we look at baseball starting there, and they're 3-3 right now in Big 12. They went 1-2 against A&M, 2-1 against Tech. So, everybody knew A&M was going to be good. They were ranked, number one coming in, but Texas Tech put up a good fight there. I believe it was two one-run games, or at least one, and then the other ones were pretty close as well. So for baseball, they got rained out today, but then they got TCU, who's always tough. You know, they always throw their weekend starter at them. So that'll be a tough thing for them. But then back to conference play, we got, the Big 12 is obviously going to get a lot of bids into the NCAA tournament. But I guess for Baylor, what's the biggest problem here? I mean, obviously, beginning of the year, we had pitching depth was thought to be the key to them, but is that necessarily the case?
Oh, I think it's definitely the case, especially with Sean Tolleson going down. His elbow's been bothering me again. Obviously, we know he had Tommy John surgery a couple of years back. I don't know if that's some problems with it. They haven't really come out and said anything about it. But him being injured, Craig Fritch not really performing up to standard, and then after that, we really don't have a guy that can just come and fill in that third spot. Logan Verrett's been an amazing surprise. The guy's a gamer. A heck of a ball player. People say he reminds a lot of people of Ryan LaMotta. great pitcher that led the Bears to the College World Series a couple of years ago. So Kendall Vohs, we know, is going to bring his stuff every game. Doesn't usually get run support for whatever odd reason that is. But after Vohs and Verrett, Aaron Miller's done a good job on the mound. I don't know if he can, if he's capable of being a good Sunday starter. Willie Kempf is an option, but he hasn't been as sharp. And then you just have some guys that are mediocre. And then with a five-game-a-week schedule, you really have got to have pitching depth when you have 5 games a week, because you can afford to throw weaker starters out in the middle of the week. But still, I mean, even when you have midweek games, like teams against TCU, you can't just throw any guy out there. I mean, TCU is, I think, number 18 in the nation, most recent poll. So you've got to have some competition there deep. I'm sure Coach Smith isn't really worried as much about TCU as he is conference season, just because conference is conference. And as we've seen this last week, I mean, it's really crazy. The only sweep that's been in Big 12 conference plays so far is the University of Kansas over UT, University of Texas. But UT's been number one team in the nation this year, and the University of Kansas obviously not known for their baseball program. So it kind of tells you how tough the road will be this year, how every game is important to win.
Right, yeah. And so that's going to be tough for the baseball team. But then moving across, I guess, across the way there to Getaman Stadium, softball, like we're saying, is went through that tough stretch there, and now they're back. They played conference, 2-0 in conference right now. They got A&M, you know, big threat there at A&M. I'm sure most of you all have heard that Brett Reagan did
tear ACL,
so she's most likely out for the rest of the year. Just as, you know, Danielle Wilson is most likely out for the rest of the year. I think you can put those on the same level there. But I guess moving on to that, how big of a loss is Brett Reagan?
Well, ever since a couple of years ago, I can't think of the name of the girl, big left-handed first baseman that they had.
Ashley Monso,
there we go. I had a little brain fart there. Ever since Ashley Monso departed, they've really been looking for someone to step in and be the premier hitter in Baylor's lineup. And Brett Reagan really has been the only viable option for that. There's been some young girls come in, but no one had the power like Monso. Brett Reagan had pretty comparable power, although not as much. Although she'll be missed in the lap, I think she'll be missed most with leadership. I mean, even you know, it's whenever I first was watching her sophomore year, most vocal girl on the team. So they'll really miss her out there. I mean, there's some talented players on this team, but Brett Reagan's injury is pretty big.
Yeah, well, that should be tough. They got A&M on Wednesday, and once again, they go against Missouri this weekend. So thank y'all very much for listening to our podcast, and we'll be back next week with more sports talk.